Hi, and thanks everybody. Welcome to another episode of Talking Shit with Heather. Today I have special guest Sally Aponte. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yeah,
Aponte. I've never asked. I've never heard of it.
No.
I always just known you as Sally A. Well, she's a fellow FDN at, like myself, but she specializes in oxalates, and she's going to give us a really awesome story today about her journey and why you should care. And I'm going to show you some really scary pictures. So stay tuned. So I'm Heather Gray with Discovering Health, and I am a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, and I help professional motivated women with Lyme who are over being told that their health issues are all in their head. And I help them to reduce chronic pain, address embarrassing gut issues, and conquer brain fog naturally so they can get back to having a productive, joy-filled life. The reason the name for the podcast, Talking Shit, it's twofold. So one is kind of tongue in cheek, and then the other is legit. So the legit part is I'm a practitioner, right? And sometimes I will get other practitioners on here and we will literally talk about shit. Actually, one of my best, my highest viewed episode is with a woman who runs a coffee enema website where you can get all your tools and kits and everything coffee enema. Actually, that might be a great place to look for parasite stuff because her stuff is killer. So sometimes, yeah, we talk about shit, and then other times it's talking about like our shit storm, right? Or a lot of us in this industry got into it because of our own health journey, right? And in order for people to heal, we kind of got to take that shit storm, right, out of the dark and into the light so people can hear and heal. And I've just been fascinated about this whole oxalate and oxalate dumping story that my friend here has shared with us on another group, and just thought she would be an excellent, it would be an excellent episode. So I'm really excited to talk to Sally today and learn more about oxalates and her story and why we should care.
Well, Heather, thanks for having me. And yeah, this has been quite a journey for me. When I first started looking into this, I had no idea what this was. Like many, you know, I was dealing with severe acne. I was dealing with joint pain, stomach problems. And I went to the dermatologist and, you know, they treated it as acne and I didn't know any better. And, you know, just things kept getting worse. They weren't getting any better. And I was looking in the internet and I was trying to identify the pictures that I had of my own skin conditions. And it was kind of challenging because, you know, many times like I was looking for something, but I didn't know what I was looking for, you know? So just connecting the dots, and one thing led me to another. And once I started to read and learn more about how oxalates affect your body, I started to connect the dots. And from that point on, I just went into so many rabbit holes because it just got very complex. But over time, you know, I kind of like learned a lot in how to deal with them, especially because your body goes through so many changes once you have this.
So what kind of gut issues were you dealing with at the time?
At one point, I had SIBO that just wouldn't go away. You know, I would get better for a short time and then it was right back again. And I couldn't figure out, you know, what was I doing wrong? I thought I was doing everything right. I was not eating sugar or these other things. However, I was every now and then eating these or having these green smoothies, which I thought were good for me. I was also having certain foods that, you know, later I found out were high oxalate foods. And I guess when, you know, when you're dealing with a gut that's healthy, it may not be a problem, but when you're starting off with already having certain problems and now you throw high oxalates in the mix, it just goes from bad to worse.
Gotcha. Thank you. So how many of you can relate with, you know, having like mysterious skin issues and gut problems and not finding the answers, right? And then how many of us have fallen into that, you know, smoothie, you know, craze, yeah. You know, any amount of, you know, I think I try to go back to the basics when it comes to food, right? If God intended us to have 15, you know, pounds of spinach in one serving, right. He would make it to where we could eat 15 pounds of spinach.
That's right. Yeah. And what I found is that, you know, the body can tolerate maybe, I think the max is like 200 milligrams. And I was reading that in a smoothie, you're getting about 1,000 milligrams of oxalates.
Ooh, ouch.
So that's like what, 5 times the amount. So, you know, maybe one time may not do it to you, but if this is like a routine thing, yeah, it's definitely going to catch up to you.
Wow. Yeah.
And also that it's not just that, there's many things that can cause the oxalates. Food is one factor, but there's also a gut bacteria, you know. There's also enzymes that may not be working properly, or genetic mutations. So
stuff in our DNA. So what do you mean a bacteria?
So when you're having trouble digesting, especially you're having fat malabsorption, you can get gut infections. It could be through stress, it can be through the food sensitivities that you eat, or it could just be that you are already predisposed to things like that when you're dealing with celiac and Crohn's disease. And I have celiac, and for a long time my condition got misdiagnosed for about 9 years. So there was all that time that I was having all this problem. And I think I was probably even collecting these oxalates for years before I really knew that that was behind many of the symptoms that I had. You know, I was getting up, going to the bathroom frequently, like every 15 minutes, you know, for many years, I didn't know what sleep was like. It was bad. And I was diagnosed with interstitial cystitis. Well, it turned out to be not interstitial cystitis, you know, but that's what they called it at that one time. Then at the doctor's office, you know, I was having a bad pain with my hands and my joints. So they labeled it as arthritis. Well, turned out not to be arthritis, you know. So, you know, they tend to give you the common labels that go with certain symptoms, and it turned out to be an oxalate problem.
So why weren't you sleeping at night?
I was getting up every 15 minutes. I had the urgency to have to urinate. But then I also discovered that oxalates can do this to you for two reasons. One, if you take a look at oxalates, especially under a microscope, they're pretty sharp. So as they are coming through either your skin or you're letting them out through urine, they're scraping, they're causing irritation. The other thing too is that oxalates, especially when they get into your cells, they tend to cause the potassium in your cell to come out of the cell, and you become deficient in potassium. And that in itself, being deficient in potassium, can cause you to go to the bathroom frequently.
Wow. So getting up like every 15, that's insane. How long did that go on for?
Oh my gosh. That went on for years. How I got through, I don't know. I used to go to work when I used to do the work that I did on the outside as a physical therapist assistant. I was a zombie, you know. I guess I just learned how to deal with it. But it was rough. I think that was one of the most roughest things. And I think that even made things worse, because as you know, sleep is really important to detox your body and to repair. So I was missing that part of my health. You know, I wasn't sleeping. So, you know, that in itself was contributing to the problem.
Right, right. So let's go back to the basics a little bit. What are oxalates exactly?
Oxalates are pretty much in every food. Oxalates, it's is something that plants have, which is their defense mechanism. You know, they don't want to be eaten, right, by animals and things like that. So they are like, it's like calcium that they have, you know, in them. And when we eat this stuff, if our stomachs are acting properly, our gut bacteria is what it should be, we should be able to handle a certain amount of oxalates. But when you are already starting out with a bad gut bacteria, you can't handle them. So oxalates are found in plants, plant food, especially almond. A flower is really, really high in oxalates. And I remember one of the things that they tell celiac people is, well, stay away from gluten, but your substitute is almond flour, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and all these other almonds. So you're getting rid of one problem, but you really are creating a new problem for yourself. And also oxalates is something that our gut bacteria creates, you know, or bad bacteria, but we also create oxalates when, you know, it's kind of like, it's a process that the mitochondria goes through. And we also too, as a normal process, create oxalates. So we get oxalates from three different ways, you know. But when you can't metabolize it, it starts to build up and then it settles in different parts of your body, which the medical terminology for that, I think, is called oxalosis. And that's something that doctors really don't look into unless you are dealing with a kidney stone. And then you're labeled, you know, having kidney stones. But way before you have a kidney stone, you actually have a oxalate metabolism problem.
Oh, so kidney stones are oxalates?
Yeah, one type can be. Okay. You know, you can have different types, but the main ones are calcium oxalates.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. We've had a history of kidney stones. You probably have a history of oxalate
issues. Way before, you just don't know about it because it's not something that conventional medicine looks into. And also, if you have osteoporosis, it can be linked to the oxalates, because what happens is that if your body can't metabolize these oxalates, they start to go into different parts of your body. And one of the ways that your body tries to handle this, because it knows it doesn't belong in your tissues, is that it now tries to bind it to calcium. Mm. But because now you're dealing with the oxalates outside of your stomach, which is where it would normally bind and be excreted out of the through the feces, now you're dealing with them in the tissue. So the body breaks down your bone to get calcium and bind it to where it's at. But now you have calcium oxalates in your joints. It could be in your muscles, you know, and sometimes even in your chest area. And there's actually studies that link oxalates directly to breast cancer.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they are directly linked to breast cancer, because they are attracted to sulfur as well, and our breast area has many sulfur receptors.
Fascinating.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's like the more I started researching, and it's like you just go under all these different rabbit holes. So
that's the way it works. Oh my gosh. So I remember you telling me a fascinating story. So you talk about oxalate dumping and how painful it can be. And can you go into that experience and why is it that we dump, and why was it happening at a certain specific time for you every night? Like, is that typical? And could you tell me more about that story?
Yeah, definitely. So I think what happened in the process of me trying to get better, I went on a keto diet, you know, And with a keto diet, you're eating more, you know, proteins and high fat, you know, and less carbs. But I think that actually triggered the problem that I didn't know I had. So because
I had a friend who went on keto and said she got gout.
Yes. Yes, it is connected to, because what starts to happen is that once your body senses that it's safe to let these oxalates released from the tissues, it starts to do so. So when you start lowering your daily oxalate intake to about almost like 50 milligrams, the body feels that it's safe to start letting them out. So what starts to happen is they start coming out. Sometimes it could be through your feces, and that will cause grainy or what they call sandy stool. Or you could start getting irritation when you go urinate, or they can start coming literally out through your skin, and they start to pretty much like pierce through your skin.
So, I wouldn't have believed it. So let me show you. I'm going to bring
it up. Yeah, it starts out like a rash. And what I learned, okay, because these things were like shark tubes coming out of my skin.
Can you see the screen? So this is
just when it's healing.
Yes. And what you were just talking about, acne. And I mean, that just kind of, I mean, it looks a little different than regular acne, but, you know, I wouldn't have known it to be anything different. Let's see, what's the next one?
That's the pain in my neck, literally.
that's the shark tooth. And I wish next time hopefully this won't happen again next time, but I wish it had. So how big do you think that was? Like if you were to set something next to it.
I actually had, it was like, I would say like that first line on a ruler, was that a centimeter?
Okay.
You know, like a little centimeter.
Wow.
That's how big it was.
That's insane.
And it was painful, you know, because I had hundreds of these, you know, started to come out of my neck. And it seemed like clockwork.
Yeah, there we go.
And, you know, talk about liver time, okay? It was like, it was on clockwork. Every about, I was like 1:30 a.m., give or take. I would feel like this, the pain in my neck, it felt almost like a cactus. You know, when you get like a cactus, the needle from the cactus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I felt that pricking in my neck. And, you know, after a while, I knew what it was. So I pretty much would stay up until like 5:30 a.m. in the morning, massaging these things out of my neck.
Oh, there we go. There's
the picture. Because one of the ways that I discovered how to get these out was taking a really hot bath, as hot as I could stand it, to open up the pores. And then I would get some organic oil and just keep massaging. And after a while, you would feel the grainy things in my hand. And that's how you can even see there, you know, like some of the white things coming out from the skin.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh.
Very painful.
Shit from a sci-fi movie, but
exactly. I felt, and you know why, Heather, this in the beginning used to really freak me out because I didn't know what the hell was happening to me, and doctors couldn't help me. Okay, they had no explanation for this. I had to just really do my research and put, you know, just really connect the dots, and then I had to I wanted to find out how can I deal with this and get this out of my body, but that it's not protruding through my body the way that it was. So, you know, I read some articles and some white papers and things like that, and I did find a way to dissolve them within the tissues, and I was doing EGTA intravenously, and that actually helped a lot. They still came out, but, you know, it's almost like it pulverized them.
So how much longer do you still go through these coming out of your, you know, this type of stuff coming out of your skin?
Yes, it's been 4.5 years that I've been releasing these. Every August makes a year. So if I continue, this August will be 5 years into this. And once you start getting these out of your system, it could be up to a 10-year process. And of course, it depends on how long you've been collecting this. Now, I had celiac, right, for, you know, and I was not properly diagnosed until I was 32 years old. And then even then, when I was diagnosed with celiac, it was not addressed properly. You know, this was back in 1990. It's still not.
My kid was diagnosed in 2005, and all they did was tell us, so just go off of gluten. You know,
yeah. What does that mean, right? Because yeah. Gluten is in everything.
But they didn't even teach us that, you know, you really shouldn't. So all we did was substitute regular conventional crap for gluten-free crap. Right. And they're also starting to find out that rice and corn and oats actually have their own form of gluten in them. And so really, if you're a true celiac, really, you should be grain free. Like,
exactly. And that's also what happened to me as well. So
yeah. Unbelievable. So yeah. Keep going talking about the celiac connection.
Celiac, especially people who have medical conditions that predisposition them to having digestive issues, specifically fat malabsorption. Mm. So what happens there is that when you have a fat malabsorption, right, normally what should happen is that you have calcium in your gut, and if you eat an oxalate food, they will bind to the oxalates and you excrete them. But when you have a fat malabsorption, what begins to happen is that the calcium gets combined to the fat instead. And as a result, your body starts to absorb the oxalates. So it doesn't have the calcium to bind in your gut.
So is that one way to kind of combat oxalates, is by increasing your calcium intake?
Yes. One of the ways that I have found to protect yourself, many foods have oxalates in them, but one of the ways that you can protect yourself from absorbing these, especially if you have celiac and things like that, is to have something with calcium when you're having foods that are high in oxalates.
Right. So then, so it could be a 10-year process. Why so long?
These things are embedded in your system, you know, and we're talking about like in your muscles, you know, so it takes a while, I guess, you know, you have to do a lot of cleansing. You have to prepare your body, to start releasing these. I know that a lot of, I've been in a lot of groups where they use, low oxalate diet, and I feel that it may be necessary in the beginning, but in long term, I wanted to find out why this happened, the domino effect, you know, because there are many of these foods can be nutritious for you. Now, you don't want to indulge in like 1,000 milligrams of oxalates, but you know, if you completely eliminate everything, you eat nothing, because even meats, okay, can turn into oxalates, because two of the amino acids that come from meats is glycine and hydroproline. So if your enzymes are not working right, it can change into oxalates. So, you know, so the main thing really is that you want to fix your gut. And you want to find out why you specifically have an oxalate problem. And that could be different for everyone. For you, it could be an enzyme issue. For me, it could be my diet. You know, for someone else, it could be they have a genetic mutation. Gotcha. Or they have bacteria in the gut.
So doing a lot of the stuff that FDN is already so famous for doing, you know, healing the gut, detoxifying, getting the right good guys in balance, good microbiome. Because I'm just like now swirling about this, thinking about my own history with celiac. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've had issues with, so what are some of the common symptoms to look out for if you've got oxalate issues?
One of the things that oxalates do is they're linked to Hashimoto's.
I had Hashimoto's.
Because the oxalates go into your thyroid, and when your immune system detects them, they're going to respond and they're going to attack that tissue. The other symptom would be the stomach issues. You're not digesting well. You have recurrent SIBO or gut infections. Even though you've done the protocols, you're okay for a little while. They come back again. You could wake up feeling really stiff, joint pain, rashes that kind of come and go. Pretty much anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
So how do you go about finding out if you've got a problem with oxalates?
Well, definitely the one way, the very first way I find out is going on a keto diet. It's like the moment that you start decreasing your oxalate intake, that's going to trigger oxalate dumping. That's one way.
Well, is there a better way that's not as painful?
Because, yes.
I mean, is oxalate dumping kind of painful?
Yes, it is. But once you have them and you want to get rid of them, there's no way around it. You know, it's almost like you have to go through it to, you know, there are ways to decrease what I was talking about, you know, like kind of pulverize them so they're not as painful coming out. But the other way that you can detect them is using an organic acid test. And the organic acid test will let you know if it's due to bacteria. Gut bacteria, then your oxalic acid is going to be high. But if it's due to an enzyme, then the I think it's the glyceric is going to be high. So you'll kind of know what may be causing it. The other way that you can tell is if you do a 24-hour oxalate urine test that you could get from the doctor, or an oxalate blood plasma test.
Okay. Oxalate blood plasma. Huh. I wonder, you were talking about almonds being so high in oxalates. And I remember when I used to do a lot of food sensitivities, like almonds came up on almost everybody. I'm curious if it's because of that oxalate issue. I was also wondering if they also have a tendency to be high irradiated type of food, you know, so.
I would say yes, because what starts to happen is that, why are you sensitive, right? Because the immune system is reacting to them. So it might be that the immune system is detecting these oxalates distributed throughout your body, and it's reacting to them and trying to, you know, deal with them.
Oh, you know, that
makes sense. Because it definitely triggers the immune system, especially the MMPs, you know, which they're really good at their job. They're also very destructive. And removing them, you know, so.
Oh my gosh. So Sally, do you have anything coming up that you would like to promote?
Well, I'm actually putting my Facebook page together, and I'm going to be opening up my group to help people that are dealing with gut issues, with oxalate toxicity, oxalate dumping, and these unexplained mystery symptoms that very much may be connected to an oxalate problem.
That's absolutely insane. And so what's the name of your group going to be?
I haven't figured that out yet, but I do have my Facebook page up, which is The Oxalate Detective.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So keep a lookout for that.
And I'll be connecting it, so you'll be able to find it at the top button.
Awesome. Okay, cool. And then, make sure if you haven't to send me that link, so that way I can put it in the show notes so people can find it. But thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Pictures, and my God, that was absolutely amazing. And I got my brain swirling of like, Oh shit.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy, you know, but at the same time, it's fascinating. And I always say this, if it wasn't happening to me, I would find it even more fascinating.
Every time I'm talking to you, I'm like, show me your shark tooth. Show me your shark tooth. I just can't believe that came out of your neck. I'm